Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
As the Terminator once said, I'll be back.
I have made terrible mistakes that have hurt the people I care about the most, and I'm deeply sorry.
You know, we thought he was terminated, but Anthony Weiner, the former New York congressman, the disgraced congressman, has conducted his first major interview since his resignation. Weiner tells the New York Times Magazine he's sorry, he's become kinder, gentler, he's more level-headed, and oh, by the way, he might be considering running for mayor. The piece is called Anthony Weiner and Huma Abedin's Post-Scandal Playbook. Huma, of course, his wife. It may be a fitting title for a story in the Times, but is it really a sign that Weiner can make it as a mayoral candidate in the city of New York? And speaking of terminated, we certainly thought this guy was gone.
I'm a bottom line kind of guy. I'll lay it out. It's going to hurt. And we'll let the chips fall where they may. In so doing, let me first of all apologize to my wife, Jenny, and our great boys, Marshall, Landon, Bolton, and Blake, for letting them down. I would also apologize to my staff, because as much as I did talk about going to the Appalachian Trail, that was one of the original scenarios that I'd thrown out to Mary Neal, that didn't want where I ended up.
Former South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford running in South Carolina's first district in Congress, rehabilitated from politics after self-destructing with his personal problems there in the state house in South Carolina. Dori Clark joins us now, author of Reinventing You, Define Your Brand, Imagine Your Future. Dori, I have to say, Sanford and Weiner are two pretty interesting cases of chutzpah, if not redemption here. What do you make of both of these cases?
Well, John, I think that it really speaks to the fact that for so many of these politicians, it's almost a compulsion for them to be in public life. They can't stay away from it, even when it's been taken from them in such a dramatic fashion because of their own failures and actions.
Does the scandal itself come with a kind of an initial advantage in that everybody knows who they are? In the case of Weiner, you know, all you have to do is Google and you can recall all of his weird tweeting problems, Mark Sanford's strange sort of like, having an affair and dropped out of existence for a few days, the governor is missing kind of thing. Does that help?
Well, it's certainly great for name recognition, but, there's the famous adage that all press is good press. And I think for these politicians, that's not really the case. The ingredients that you need to get over a scandal, the most important one is time. People want to see that you've done your time in the wilderness, that you've thought about it, that you've learned something. And I think the question for both of these guys is, has it been long enough? Does the public think that they've really done their penance? And I think it's an open question.
You know, there's two issues here. Let's talk about Eliot Spitzer for a moment. I mean, there was a moment when he was utterly odious in every way for the way in which he self-destructed as governor of New York. But then there's the question of, okay, we can tolerate him. We can watch him on television. He had a show on cable news. Is Weiner past the odious place? But Spitzer certainly isn't going to be governor again, right?
Definitely not. I think that in a lot of ways, the key ingredient is how much the nature of their transgression implies something about their public role. For Mark Sanford, I actually feel like the scandal is more serious in that he lied to his staff about his whereabouts. I mean, it was literally a dereliction of duty. The guy's the governor and his own staff can't find him. Whereas for Weiner, he sent a stupid, obscene tweet. And that's a foolish thing to do, but it doesn't really relate to his job. It's a personal peccadillo. And even though it's embarrassing, I think it's something that he ultimately, with time, can move past.
Although, isn't it a judgment question if you tweet body parts to people in the internet age? I mean, Anthony Weiner claims he's a smart guy. He ought to understand that stuff like that can come back to haunt you. Newt Gingrich, really smart guy. Is there a judgment question about the things that he did? Americans seem willing to forgive on this judgment question.
They do in a lot of ways. And, you know, my favorite example, of course, is Bill Clinton. You know, this is the man who's the president, and literally he's having a dalliance in his office with an intern. I mean, it doesn't get more ridiculous than that. But with time, people have forgiven him. It's not something that, people really even think about or mention now when they talk about him and talk about his legacy. And so I think when it comes to personal transgressions, especially of a sexual nature, the public has gotten a lot more forgiving.
And, you know, in sports, if you win the Masters, nobody cares what you do, right?
Well, Tiger's behavior was a little bit egregious. You know, certainly he lost a pile of endorsements. He is somebody who has been kind of taken out of the role model category. I don't think there are that many parents now that would say, oh, you know, Johnny, I wish you'd grow up to be just like Tiger Woods. But I think that there's still an appreciation. What Tiger did was different than Lance Armstrong, in that, you know, he was going around with a lot of ladies, but he did not disgrace the game of golf. And so I think the public can separate that and say, okay, we admire his skill in his profession. We don't necessarily admire his personal behavior.
Have you ever been at one of these meetings? I'm trying to imagine, you know, sitting in a room with Anthony Weiner and his operatives, and they're calculating, yes, this is the moment. We start with a profile in the New York Times. Get the bad stuff out of the way early, and then we move on from there. What are these meetings like?
Well, I used to be a presidential campaign spokesperson, so I've actually been in a lot of these meetings.
I bet.
And it's very true. I mean, you want to think about the narrative arc. That's literally how you frame it. You say, okay, what's the coming out piece where you make your bold confession and your public statement, and then how do you begin the narrative of redemption? And so I actually think that Weiner has done a really good job. If I was advising him, this is exactly what I would tell him to do, because it's a big, bold public splash in the Times Magazine. He's gotten it out there. And so now he has the ability, as he potentially goes through the mayoral race, to say whenever anyone wants to, you know, sort of dredge up the old stuff from the past, he can legitimately say, look, I've talked about this. This is old news. Let's move on to the issues, which is what you want to be focusing on.
Is part of this a retraining question? You said at the very beginning of this conversation that, you know, these politicians, they can't stay out of the public eye. It's sort of their lifeblood. If Anthony Weiner could, you know, become a hedge fund manager, do you think we'd ever see him again? Is this really a part about he sits down and goes, this is the only thing I know how to do, be a congressman or be a politician?
Well, in a lot of ways, it seems like it. I mean, according to the Times profile, he's basically been kicking around for a year and taking his son to the park. It's not like he's been making a move to develop a new career or profession for himself.
He was just waiting.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the key impetus in the timing of this is that he has $1.5 million burning a hole in his pocket. This is money, public matching funds that are going to expire if he does not run now. So I think in all honesty, he probably should have waited longer, you know, 2014, 2015. That's probably better for him in terms of a comeback. But he has money to burn now. And so I think he's exploring his options to see if he can use it.
A powerful financial incentive to step into the race. It's not about chutzpah. Maybe it's about dollar signs. Dori Clark, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Dori Clark, Reinventing You, Define Your Brand, Imagine Your Future. That's her book. We're talking about stories of personal comeback and redemption. How did you make your comeback?
My name is Nancy Woods, and I'm calling from Beaufort, South Carolina. And the thing that changed my life was getting divorced. It taught me, forced me, understand that the only person that I could blame or give credit to was myself.
I spent a year at college not attending class. My enlistment in the Air Force established a career and source of funding for my more serious second collegiate attempt, says a listener in Florida. Say, we want to thank everyone at Oregon Public Broadcasting for making this a terrific week. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend, folks. I'm John Hockenberry in Portland, Oregon. This is The Takeaway.